Heyo, Wanju! Hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. The Sydney Underground Film Festival, or SUFF, is back once more for another stellar year of underground, fringe cinema, short films, and more. This year's lineup includes an array of gloriously wild films, including Fuck Toys by Annapurna Sriram, Queens of the Dead by Tina Romero, Stellark, Suspending Disbelief, a film that I've covered on the podcast before, The Pee Pee Poo Poo Man, yes, that is a real film, and Take 48 Shorts, and a lot more. In the following chat with festival director Nathan Sen, with a cameo from his cat, I chat to him about pulling this year's lineup together, what titles he excited to present to the audience in Sydney, and the glorious poster art that was made for this year's festival, and a lot more. To buy tickets and find out more about the festival, visit suff.com.au. I'll stick a link in the show notes. If you want to find out more about the work that we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at thecurb.au. We're a completely independent and ad-free website that lives in support of listeners and readers just like yourself. So do us a favour and head over to patreon.com/thecurb.au to support our work from as little as $1 a month. I'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast player of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. New interviews drop on Thursdays with bonus chats appearing on Tuesdays. Enough from me, here is the trailer for SUFF, followed by my chat with Nathan Sen. But before I play that trailer, I probably should give you the dates for the festival as well. Thursday the 11th of September through to Sunday the 14th of September 2025 is when Sydney Underground Film Festival will be running in Newtown, New South Wales. suff.com.au. Right, now it's enough from me. Here's Nathan Sen.
Guns don't kill people. Addy.
We're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Oh, funny, is it?
I'm gonna throw up.
What's the worst that could happen?
But let's start talking about SUFF. I literally prepared myself a coffee, and the mug that I grabbed out of the cupboard was last year's mug. So completely amazing. Accidental, I promise you. I'm not putting this on, but nonetheless.
It's such a great design. Like, I love the artwork from last year, and I didn't manage to get myself a mug, which is a bummer. So we need to get more printed because they're brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I love the... because I've got the shirt as well, and there's just something that's really quite expressive about a little mushroom person with boobs.
Yes.
Like, it's just beautiful. So I guess, like, let's start talking about the design for the poster, because I know, do you have much involvement in that, or is that, like, somebody else who does the organisation of the posters for the festivals?
No, Kath and I both have a little bit of a hand in it, but ultimately it's the artist that has the biggest say. So, you know, we tend to find... we come up with a handful of, local artists that we love each year, and we have a bit of a chat about, who we might want to get on our list, and then we sort of reach out and see who might be available and keen to participate. And sometimes it's just chance and availability. But with them, we tend to give artists a lot of free range, you know. They tend to ask, they look at our previous artworks and they say, you know, what's your vibe, what's your deal, what kind of things do you show each year? Sometimes they're already familiar with the festival, which is... lovely compliment. Sometimes they ask about, you know, what are our favorite films, what sort of genres do we like to program, and then they do a bit of a deep dive and look into some of the films and some of the thematic inspirations in that regard, and then they set about coming up with like proof concepts and drafts, and you know, we just tend to be really supportive and trust their process, and whatever they come up with, you know, with the exception of a few tweaks here and there, we just say, you know, go at it, be your most creative self. Show us what you think fits, and then we jump on that. So we've done again this year, and we really love the artwork and love the product that they've come up with.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm looking at it on my screen here, and it's just like the tentacles and the mushrooms. The mushroom seems to be a regular thing for some reason, which is cool. I like that, but it's odd. But
I think what I really like about this year is it's a bit of an homage to several festivals of years past. Like we've had the sort of the film reels and the sprockets before. We've had tentacles before. Eyeballs is a big theme for us. You know, when we first started, we had the Wing Chun Andalou image of the sliced eyeball from the Buñuel film as our sort of logo, and that was always somewhere on the poster for the first 15, 16 years. So eyeballs are a big one, with lasers coming out sometimes, sometimes not. This year feels like a really good homage to years past and like a conglomeration of the different themes and aesthetics that we've had in the past, which I love.
Yeah. So heading into this year's lineup, what were the things in your mind that you really wanted to kind of spotlight, or the vibe that you wanted to create with the schedule?
I think every year we seem to be going deeper and deeper underground.
I think so.
which is sort of partially by design and it's partially by circumstance. But I think for me, it really is about celebrating like the weirdest and the most wonderful films. Like the more out there, the more that we can sort of push the boundaries and the more we can get away with, the better. I really like it. It's just such a joy to be able to curate films that are so experimental, left of field, really trying to do something unique and different. And that's the kind of cinema that we want to support. So I think, whenever I start the programming process, I sort of rub my hands together and I think like, what are we going to find this year? What's out there? How deep can we go? How hard can we push against acceptability and see what we can find? And I think this year, like it really feels like one of our most sort of out there lineups, which I'm really proud of. And I think our audience will really take to it.
Yeah. I mean, running through some of the titles, so it's like, obviously UHF Centered Cinema Returns, that's a great film. That experience would be pretty phenomenal. But if people just have a quick look at it, it's like the Pee Pee Poo Poo Man, which I've heard nothing but great things about. I'm super, super stoked about that. You've got About Love, which is a continuation of the lost sex films of King's Cross as well. And then also Fuck Toys as well as a closing night film. So it's like you've got these really major titles, which are just like they leap off the page and really get people kind of going, what the fuck is this? Which, you know, for a film festival that is underground like this, that's kind of what you want, right?
Absolutely. You want to grab the headlines, especially, you know, in a climate where there are so many festivals that are competing and increasingly in the alternative and underground space. So you really do need some things to set yourself apart. And I think sort of like you said, we've got some things that are returning from last year and from previous years that were great successes. So, About Love, last year we screened George and Karras's Lost Sex Films of King's Cross and Karras was in attendance, and that was an amazing opportunity to screen some really, really filmed, really screened films from two really great champions of erotic cinema in Australia's history. They've had some new works recently restored and compiled together, and we had such a good response that we really wanted to do that again, and hoping that they'll be just as good an audience for that because it was a wonderful screening. And likewise, as you say, with UHF, so some of our previous audiences will remember that we did a centered screening of John Waters' Female Troubles to open our festival last year, Female Trouble, sorry. And so we partnered with a company called Centered Cinema and Cinerve, and they make a livelihood of doing centered pairings with screenings, and they do really incredible work. They came to us and told us that they were doing UHF for a screening in Canada, I believe, and asked us if we wanted to partner. And as soon as they said that they were coming back with something new, and obviously, UHF and Weird Al Yankovic and just the sort of off-the-wall nature of that film, we just thought that would be absolutely perfect. So really excited to bring another centered cinema screening of that to our audience. And I think there's some really weird and wild unique titles. Pee Pee Poo Poo Man, again, obviously, it's one of my favorite films. It is ridiculous, as the title suggests, but it is also doing a lot. So I think it's an easy one to sort of write off and underestimate. But if you do get a chance to watch it, or if our audience do get a chance to come and check it out, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised at really how much is under the surface of, what might be a puerile title, but has quite a really good introspective nature and sort of like a depth of thematic intent, yeah. Which is great.
I've heard some people say that it's quietly emotional as well. Like they've been surprised by it being an emotional experience, which is, you know, has piqued my interest even more. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
100% really manages to straddle the line of just like juvenile hilarity, but also, you know, for people who don't know, it follows a story. It's based on a true story. It follows a story of its lead character, who has a bit of like a, let's say like a bit of a breakdown, and he goes around the streets of Toronto throwing buckets of pee and poop on unsuspecting citizens, as the title suggests. But it really, you know, it doesn't take too much light of that. It blends humour with, you know, a really insightful perspective of his mental state, of the conditions that led to maybe his breakdown and what caused him to do what he did. Obviously not so clearly based on the true story. It takes a lot of like narrative and fictional fancy. But still, it's a very intelligent film, and I think people will really get a lot out of it if they come to the screening.
I'm also fascinated by one of the films which I really appreciated watching from Rev recently was Stellark Suspending Disbelief, which was a film that I interviewed the director, and he was quite eager that there is a certain moment in the film which I won't spoil for people who haven't seen it yet, but he's quite eager. He said to me that he's quite eager for people to just get up and leave the screening at that point, which is because he wants it to be a provocative film and he wants people to feel quite uncomfortable at times, but also to ask who this person is. And I'm curious for you, having seen the film, what your experience is of watching it and knowing that you're programming something that is quite a provocative film that is about somebody who is a provocative artist.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. Did you speak to Richard?
Yeah,
or...
spoke to Richard, yeah.
Rich is amazing, and he will be at the screening presenting a Q&A. So for people that do stick around and don't walk out, you know, he's fantastic and be able to talk about about Stellark and the process of making the film. It's great to strike a balance, I think. You want to be a festival that can withstand provocations and that presents provocations, because if you don't do it, sort of, you know, who will? Not every film that you show can or should be a provocation or the kind of thing that you want to walk out of. Like, you know, you don't want audiences to leave unhappy. But I think, you know, maybe cinema's become very comfortable, maybe too much so. And I think having cinema that challenges and that provokes and that makes you question your own comfortability and analyze things with a little bit more depth, I think it's part of our remit and it's part of what our audience really love about the festival. So I'm really glad that Richard said that. I hope that people do take a gamble on the film and come and see it, because it's a great Australian documentary. Stellark's an amazing subject. So for people that know, he's a performance artist based out of Melbourne. He did and still does a lot of work around the human body, very sort of Cronenbergian work with endurance, pain, prosthetics. He famously had an ear grafted to his arm. A lot of work with AI and mind controlling prosthetics. So he's a very interesting subject for a documentary film, very much up our street itself, because he works on the margins and pushing the boundaries of the human body. So he himself is a provocateur and someone renowned for that kind of work. And I think the film does a really brilliant job. Yes, it is confronting, and there are some things, some images in the film particularly, that might be a little bit challenging. But I think overall it is a really good celebration of a really worthy artist, and I couldn't be happier that we're screening it.
Yeah. And I say that knowing, like, I don't want to push people away from it at all, because I think it's one of the best documentaries I've seen this year. Coming out of Australia, it's just a phenomenal film, and I found myself really moved by it as well, not because of the visceral nature of it at times, but because of the humanity within Stellark as a person and the art and what it's actually saying. I could talk about that film for hours and hours and hours. I think it's just phenomenal, but we have a whole other lineup to touch on, and I want to talk about, let's just whip over to talking about Fuck Toys, which is just like, I've watched the trailer for it, seen the poster, I've loved the title. Tell me about Fuck Toys.
It's hard to pick favorites. It's a bit like children. You can't pick your favorite when you curate a festival, but Fuck Toys is absolutely up there for me. It was one of the best films that I saw all year in my programming duties. It's hard to compare it to other films because it's such an original piece of filmmaking, so I don't want to be too much like, oh, it's like this or it's like that. But, the first film that really springs to mind after watching it is Annabella's The Love Witch, just for a sort of... very, very similar to Annabella's Love Witch aesthetically. That just, like, those amazing pastel colours, pastel hues, the attention to detail in the costume design and the set design. Every frame is like a piece of art and it's just beautifully crafted from that regard. Narratively, it's got a lot of genetics from, say, John Waters or maybe a Greg Araki. And thematically, maybe Jodorowsky's The Holy Mountain. So that kind of, that amalgam of four amazing films really gives you an indication of the kind of, the level of work that we're talking about. But wholly original at the same time. So, I don't want to cheapen it by overdoing the comparisons there, but it follows AP, who's played by the director, Annapurna Sharam, and she finds out that she has had a hex placed on her and she needs to come up with $1,000 and sacrifice a goat to lift the hex. So she goes through this journey into the underworlds of Trashtown, USA, like a fictionalized sort of Midwestern town. She's cohorts are sort of the underbelly of this town and she meets up with friends and foes along the way and you follow her on this journey to lift this hex, and it broadly follows the journey of the 12 major arcana, so people who are into tarot and that kind of thing will be right up on what it's doing and kind of where the Jodorowsky comparison comes in. But look, it is incredibly funny. It's trashy. It's everything that you want from an underground film. Won a lot of awards at South by Southwest, which are well-deserved, and we're really lucky to have Annapurna coming out from the States to present the film as well, which is amazing, so she'll be there for a Q&A, and obviously we have a great closing night after party, so she'll be there for a bit of a dance and a boogie, and happy to chat to anyone who has questions about the film there as well. So, as soon as we saw it, we just thought this is the perfect soft film. It's a perfect way to close the festival out. It's hilarious, got a very celebratory atmosphere, celebrates underground filmmaking in all its glory because it's just such a well-made piece of cinema. So, yeah, we're thrilled to have that in the lineup this year.
Yeah, I think that's phenomenal. And, I mean, the rest of the films that are screening, I could go through all of the titles, but I won't, and I'll make sure to publish it on the site and everything so people can seek it out. But there's a whole bunch of titles on there, which I absolutely love. But, and as well, Secret Mall Apartment, if people haven't seen that, they must see that. It's a great film. But I want to talk about the shorts briefly as well, because one of the things which underground film festivals always do in such a brilliant way is spotlighting the different kinds of shorts that are out there. They're just kind of really unloved or unfocused on or under-celebrated in a way. And that's what I've always appreciated about stuff. Some of the best shorts I've ever seen have come out of stuff. So how do you go about programming and making sure that you're selecting right shorts for the different categories you've got?
That's really kind, Andrew. Thank you. I put a lot of work into the shorts, so I hear that means a lot. This year's shorts are no exception. I think we've got a really great number of packages. So we've got five this year up from four last year, which is great. We've got our home-baked Aussie shorts, which is the best alternative Australian films of the year. We've got Stranger Than Fiction, which is our documentary shorts program. We've got WTF, which is our What the Fuck shorts, which is the sort of the weirdest and wildest of a weird and wild bunch. So people who like their films, dangerous and raw, that's the one for them. We've got Lovesick, which is films that are a little bit more lascivious and risque and sexual in nature, but always really provocative and fun. And LSD Factory, which is where we screen our more experimental shorts. So, we watch through, this year was about 1,500 shorts to program about 45. So, part of the, not such a secret, but like anything, if you get through that many, you're going to find the cream of the crop, and sometimes it's just purely about numbers. The team watches through a whole heap of short films. All the programs that I've mentioned have really been staples of stuff since year one. So when stuff started in 2007, it was just short films, and it's, it grew to incorporate features and documentaries. But supporting shorts and short filmmakers was always, you know, something that was really important to us from the start. So we'll have a really good sense of the categories and what, how we define them and what our audience sort of want from them and what fits and what doesn't. So that really helps us narrow down the films that we select. So again, I think, yeah, a big part of it is just casting a really wide net, but it's also knowing our audience, knowing the remit and really programming for them. And yeah, keeping it on brand with stuff, like keeping it wild, keeping it fun, really supporting filmmakers that are willing to take risks. Because at the end of the day, you know, short filmmakers, they're not constrained by production companies or budget, and often they get to be as free-wielding and unrelenting as they like. So, you know, trying to find the films that do that to the best effect and to support those filmmakers is a real joy. And we've got a lot of filmmakers coming back that have, you know, played with us for many years, but also a lot of new filmmakers that we've just discovered, which is always such a big part of the Shorts program. So we're wrapped with the lineup this year. And really encourage people to come along, because, you know, even if you're not a short filmmaker or a short film person, I think, you know, you tend to get 8 to 12 films per session, and they're all wild and a lot of fun. And as you say, like, you'll come out of it having had a good time, maybe a better time even than with a feature. So definitely encourage people to check out the Shorts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing, is that you're getting such a wild kind of variety of different things that you're getting to experience and stuff. And I've always appreciated that. But then also you've got the 48-hour film challenge, which is kind of another SUF staple. And that has, from my experiences at least, has always had returning people and people able to actually be there and support the work of others and create their own films in a 48-hour time period. What does that mean to have people who are returning and you know, making films and dedicating themselves to that kind of challenge?
It's such a great thing that we're able to do. I can't take credit for Take 48. We work with a gentleman named Chris David, who curates and programs and runs the workshops as well, and he's incredible, and we're really privileged to be able to partner with him to present that challenge. Obviously, as the title suggests, filmmakers have a weekend in August to get together and make a short film. Chris gives them usually a theme, I think a sentence and an object, and then they have to incorporate that in. He gets hundreds of submissions. You know, hundreds of filmmaking teams come together and making films right across the country now. It started quite small and localized, and now we have people from all over submitting and flying in from interstate, which is lovely. But it's such a fundamental part of what we do, because it's really supporting, I think, resourceful filmmaking, ingenuity, innovation, creativity. Because again, you don't have time to prepare, you don't have huge budgets, you don't have a big casting crew or access to expensive equipment. You just need to use, you know, the raw materials and your imagination and come up with the best thing that you can on the spot. And I think being able to support that kind of creativity and see that flourish up on the big screen at the screenings is there's nothing like it. And look, we've had filmmakers that start at Take 48, and then, you know, in a year or 2 years they submit to the festival proper, and we end up screening them in our Shorts program. So, you know, it's a great pathway to have people's works screened in that regard as well. And you know, hopefully they'll go on and be able to make features that we can screen as well. But it's such a great screening. As you say, having people that have made the films be able to come and bring their friends and their family and see all their hard work and their labour rewarded up on screen, it's really beautiful. It's not such a competitive space as well. Everyone's so supportive because they've been through this process themselves, and often they get to know one another, and maybe people work as crew on multiple projects. So it's a very joyous, sort of almost raucous screening where people really give the love, and I think that's a lot of fun. It's one of the first sessions to sell out, because people always get behind it. So it's great, and it's growing every year, and it means the world to us that people do come back, as you say, because it means that you know, Chris and the team are doing something right. They people want to be involved in it. They feel like they're learning. They can cut their teeth as filmmakers. They're growing, and they get to have a great time, which is beautiful to witness.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, it's the festival's way of connecting to a community and building up that community. As you're saying, like, you get people who've been part of that competition then going ahead and submitting their shorts and stuff. And that's like this symbiotic thing. You're feeding the film culture in Australia. It's huge. Which leads me then to the last question, which is usually something I would ask Australian filmmakers, but you're programming an Australian Film Festival and you're putting stories on screen in such a way that is, again, it's like feeding back into the community that's around there. And I'm curious for you what it means to be able to celebrate and amplify not just Australian stories, because that's part of it, but stories that maybe wouldn't get the spotlight that they deserve. What does that mean for you as a programmer?
Oh, it means everything, Andrew. I mean, I wish that we were the size where, you know, we could have like an incubator program and we could actually support the production of films that we could then screen and put out into the world like bigger festivals do. I mean, it's just not financially possible for us. So Take 48 is kind of, you know, our way of being able to contribute in some small way to that. As you say, the other way is just getting films screened and you know, up in the cinema, getting eyeballs in front of them and maybe getting them on the festival circuit. I mean, you know, we're friends with other festivals and sometimes they see films and stuff that they might then program themselves. Or, you know, distributors might see a film and pick it up that way and then it starts a life of its own. And if we can contribute to that by supporting even just getting a film up on the screen, then it means a lot because it supports the filmmakers, the cast and the crew and supports Australian film in general. But I think, you know, more broadly to your question, and like I was saying at the start of the interview, I think the state of cinema at the moment is in a pretty sad state of affairs. I mean, everything's really homogenous. Everything's a little bit boring, a little bit lacking in originality. But I don't think that that is, it's not a criticism of the state of filmmaking. You know, I think there are some amazingly talented and creative individuals out there. It's just because of the system, it's increasingly hard to get funding and to get these films made. So I think it's really important to have a space where we can, you know, celebrate and platform films that are maybe a bit more, as I say, resourcefully made, you know, low budget, lo-fi, but still deserve to be seen nonetheless. Particularly, maybe even more so, you know, as I say, filmmakers that can push boundaries and that have a lot to say deserve to have their voices heard too. So being able to, you know, to support that, to find these filmmakers, connect them as part of a community, get them up on screen and hope that that in some way helps them and their films to have, you know, a future. It's really why we do what we do. Yeah. So
yeah. It's massive. Yeah. And like, again, I live in Perth, so my connection is with Rev, but there is a symbiotic nature between Rev and stuff, and the films that you both screen are just like, that's, I like the major festivals, don't get me wrong, but I know that I'm going to get something that will stick with me. Like I can feel it having stuck to me after I've walked out of the cinema in a way that like other things that you can just peel it off and throw it away kind of don't do. And so that's why I love film festivals like stuff, because you know that you're going to have something that just lingers and that's huge. So again, congratulations on the lineup. Yeah, it's huge. And I know people who are going to be attending over that weekend are just going to have a phenomenal experience. So congratulations, Nathan.
No, thanks, Andrew. That's really kind. It should be a lot of fun and I'm really looking forward to it, yeah. In a year or 2 years, they submit to the festival proper and we end up screening them in our shorts program. So, you know, it's a great pathway to have people's works screened in that regard as well. And you know, hopefully they'll go on and be able to make features that we can screen as well. But it's such a great screening. As you say, having people that have made the films be able to come and bring their friends and their family and see all their hard work and their labour rewarded up on screen, it's really beautiful. It's not such a competitive space as well. Everyone's so supportive because they've been through this process themselves and often they get to know one another and maybe people work as crew on multiple projects. So it's a very joyous sort of almost raucous screening where people really give the love. And I think that's a lot of fun. It's one of the first sessions to sell out because people always get behind it. So it's great and it's growing every year. And it means the world to us that people do come back, as you say, because it means that you know, Chris and the team are doing something right. They people want to be involved in it. They feel like they're learning. They can cut their teeth as filmmakers. They're growing and they get to have a great time, which is beautiful to witness.
Hey, thanks for listening to the chat with Nathan Senn about the Sydney Underground Film Festival, which is taking place in Newtown from the Thursday the 11th of September to Sunday the 14th of September. SUFF.com.au is where you can get tickets. To find out more about what we do on The Curb, visit thecurb.com.au. And I will see you on the next one.